There, I waited for you.
Oh, all right, thank you.
No, I had to do a lot of the clicky clicky. Ah, and I should enunciate words properly. That's usually good broadcasting right there. This is Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio, joined by Howard Flood. We recap the week that was, we talk about the week that will be, and we invite a fan, usually a friend of ours. In fact, I mean, we're not a draw, so it's always a friend of ours. We're not going to be like, hey, Sonny Jurgensen, would you care to join our show and recap what it was to go in at halftime and smoke a cigarette or two?
At this point, I would take Brandon Merriweather, man. It's like, for real? You're on an active roster? That's awesome, man.
You're a horrible, maiming human being. And your hair sucks shit.
Dude, come on. That's my boy. That's the you.
Oh, God.
The you.
Fuck the you. That's what I said.
Oh, man.
I actually don't care one way or the other about college. My heart was already broken. Coming into the Sunday games, I watched that Thursday night schlacking that the Redskins took. All my dreams are dead, Howard.
Listen,
my dreams are dead.
Don't put too much stock into a Thursday night game. I've been looking at the way that these have been scheduled this season, and I think it's really unfair to first-year coaches to have them try to install a new system on a short week against veteran coaches. It's just, you look at Eli and Tom Coughlin. They have so many games together, they can just go back and pull up an old game plan.
Oh, they're like an old married couple. Like, they just look at each other across the room, nothing is said, and then one gets up and just cleans the dishes.
I mean, how many games has Kirk Cousins played with Gruden here? Two? Three?
Two? No, this would have been, like, the second one that he was starting for Gruden. He came in, what, during the
he didn't start that game.
Yeah, exactly. He came in with RG3. Jacksonville for the majority of that, so that was RG3's game plan, and then last week, they looked pretty decent in defeat against the Eagles, and then this week,
they basically had to recycle a game plan that the Giants were very ready for. Oh, were they ready for it?
Yeah, yeah. It's not just that. I've heard that Cousins in general, look, for 1 week, 2 weeks, everyone blew him, and he was the pocket passer that was going to be so great in Gruden's system, and then he fucks up 1 week, and we hear about he stares down his receivers. I think that's what really gets me so mad about sports radio in general.
Right.
They find like one catchphrase and fucking repeat it over and over. Same with sports announcers. If I hear goddamn, it was a bang bang play. He needs to make a football move. Bang bang play. If I hear either of those fucking phrases one more time out of announcer's mouth, holy shit. The only bang bang I want to hear is out of the muzzle of Lee Harvey Oswald's rifle. Fuck, I hate those guys. It drives me batshit. But yeah. For 2 weeks, I hear nothing but positives about Kirk Cousins. And then, all of a sudden, he stares down his receivers. Like, he's a fucking psychopathic killer, just jacking his prick, looking at his receiver for 45 seconds before he finally releases or something. I don't get it. So the guy goes from hot as hell to complete dog shit. Like, all your hopes and dreams as a Skins fan go down the toilet. Suddenly, it's like you cheated on your wife, Robert Griffin, with what you thought was going to be the hot new thing. The hot new thing gives you herpes and dumps you. And suddenly you're like, oh, please, RG baby, take me back. I didn't mean none of it.
I mean, listen, you guys are going up against the Seahawks this week.
At least we're hosting. For fuck's sake, at least we're hosting.
No, you guys are going to get so destroyed. It's going to be, I predict, just like that Eagles game when Vic and Andy Reid dropped 35 on you in the first quarter.
They were up 74 points. Your memory's wrong. It's 74 points in the first 8 minutes. I remember that game. I remember having a lot of Monday night left.
Yeah, no, that's going to happen again this week. So I
say it, except like, even as much as I hate Seattle and just want to criticize them, period, for the hell of it, their offense is like, okay. It's nothing amazing.
Redskins' defense is horrible. Absolutely horrible. And D'Angelo Hall is gone for the season.
Yeah.
All right?
I mean, their secondary's dog shit. And now
went from bad to worse.
Yeah, the front seven isn't really getting pressure. So now the secondary's called into question. So it'll be bad.
And the real problem.
And for the fans on the field, by the way, there's expired beer being served at FedEx. I just had to get that out there. You didn't hear this story?
No.
Okay, during the Thursday night Giants Skins game, people started tweeting photos of them holding World Cup edition Budweisers, if I recall the brand.
Oh, man.
And they're like, you know, the World Cup was a while ago, was it? And then they looked at the little barcode at the bottom, which has like a Peeps Just Born date or whatever the hell on it. And you can look that up, and it was like, you should not be drinking this beer at this point.
I mean, it's not going to get you sick. I've had like year old 18-month-old Pabst Blue Ribbon before.
Isn't that how they preserved water in ye olden times? Didn't they turn it into beer? That was the point of it?
It's not going to kill you. It tastes kind of bad. And it's already bad enough they charge you $9 for a can of beer.
Well, let's be real. It's an American beer. If you don't think it's 25% formaldehyde, you're a fucking moron. That thing is built to last through the apocalypse. But, yeah, it was... Wow, that was very, very tough to watch. I tuned out. That was kind of the, what is it, the leitmotif? Is that the word I'm looking for? I feel like I'm channeling my inner dumb athlete. I'm just reaching for a big word. And
all right. I'm not sure what you're getting at here.
It was just unwatchable games almost the whole goddamn weekend. Yeah,
Thursdays are pretty uniformly, I feel, unwatchable.
The Skins were punched out early. Didn't care to watch
it. I was really hoping for some good Sunday football.
And you didn't get it.
I don't think I did.
In the D.C. market, we had Green Bay. Were they hosting the Bears or were they playing at Soldier Field?
That was a good game. That was the best game I saw this weekend.
It was good for a half.
Three quarters. I think the third quarter, I turned it off after that because I was really disappointed in the way that the Bears were just not able to find the end zone despite burning up yards against that Green Bay defense. The turnovers and like
that's
the
a
failure.
Shit defense.
Yeah. They were not a good defense, and yet, yeah, the Bears really blew it.
So I tapped out on that. And then I flipped over to the Ravens-Panthers game, thinking maybe I'll have something here because the whole storyline, Steve Smith playing his old team.
Which is a great return for Steve Smith. I'm really rooting for him and the Ravens to do well this year.
But, revenge is great when it's at a clutch moment or you don't really expect it to happen, and then it eventually does.
No, I like that he just burned them early, and then they piled it on. I like that. It's not fun for people to watch.
Like, it was like
after the score hits 28-10 or whatever. So.
It was like the rematch between Joe Louis and Max Schmeling, if I'm going for sports references that all of us will know. You don't know this? Max Schmeling. He was like the Nazi Superman boxer. He was a kraut. Big white dude. Joe Louis, the brown bomber. You know, and they're not calling him that because he's got a tan. And the first match between him, the Kraut beats up our black Joe Louis. And everyone's like, you know, Hitler lost his mind. Hitler was like, fuck, yeah, Nazi design superior. And then there was a rematch. And I mean, Joe Louis knocks Max Schmeling's like rectum out of his mouth 18 seconds into the fight. It was fucking insane. It made Tyson Spinks look like a five-hour opera. It was fast. So that's all I'm saying. Like, that, as funny as it is, to quote that years later, because I'm weird and read Wikipedia and know that, like, it would have been better if it was a hard-fought match, don't you think? And same with the Ravens game. I would have liked it if, like, it was close, and then Steve Smith, at the end, catches his fucking dagger and beats his old team. That's awesome. Instead, he was just running roughshod on him.
I mean, here's my problem with the weekend of football, and part of that is encompassed in the way Carolina's playing. Every team is so dramatically flawed at the end of September, it seems, in the NFC, other than Seattle. And, yeah, really, Seattle.
Why are you shitting on the Cards?
And Arizona.
The one unbeaten, yeah.
Are the only teams that made it through September and didn't look like dog shit. I mean, everybody else, really, to me. Like, Philadelphia is a great example of a team that, one, doesn't have a defense, and then, two, yesterday... They ended up not having an offensive touchdown. This juggernaut of an offense. Yeah. Couldn't score against the 49ers defense.
I mean, what the fuck were you expecting? Every game of theirs, they were down by what? Like 17, 10. And then they're digging out. It's the wheels come off that shit eventually. It's a great narrative and everyone loves the record, but you can never look at that and feel safe. You can never look at that and think, wow, we are just going to get some gimme wins this year. They've had to gut it out against everyone. They were the closest game for the Jaguars, all goddamn year so far.
Yeah.
What does that say, man?
Nah, it's disappointing to just go through the league, and, I mean, you look at Dallas in the same division. They're looking much better on offense now.
Yeah. Oh, and that was a real treat Sunday night. So we have, the one semi-watchable game, 49ers-Eagles, but, like, what was the final score, 27-21 or some shit?
It was 26-21.
26-21. No, it wasn't nearly that close, though.
The Eagles were painful to watch with the ball.
Yeah.
Absolutely painful.
Like, I'll tell you what, man. I usually don't tap out on football games, and especially I don't because we do the show, and I want to be able to talk about the games in depth. It wasn't necessary. I tapped out. I watched Edge of Tomorrow. You know what the real story from Sunday was? Why haven't I wanted to fuck Emily Blunt for a longer time? That is a good-looking woman. Oh, the lips on that bitch. She is nice. Edge of Tomorrow, by the way, very watchable.
Yeah, I mean, it's the worst part of the weekend is that the best story to me was probably Teddy Bridgewater winning his first start.
Yeah, but in true Vikings fashion, now he's got the gimp ankle or some shit.
That was the complaint against him coming into the draft, was that he seemed like he was going to be prone to injury based on his size. Huh. He's a little too light to play in the NFL.
Promising black quarterback who's going to get injured a lot. Enjoy how that pans out for you, Vikings. As a Redskins fan, I have no idea.
Well, to be fair to them, they didn't trade an entire draft in order to get him. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No. I don't even like to remember that happened.
No, it's just tough when I look at the NFC picture. And I ask myself, who can really beat Seattle in the NFC? And, I mean, it's slim pickings. Most of the teams that you would think are supposed to compete in the playoffs, they just have offenses that will not perform well against Seattle's defense, and they don't have a defense that could
shit
stop.
Shit defense, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Bears and the Packers cannot stop anyone on defense. Neither can the Eagles, as the same story can be told for the Falcons and seemingly the Saints. Nobody can stop anyone. So to me, it's just like, you can look at the Seattle offense as not being the stronger counterpart of the two sides of the ball on that Seahawks team.
Yeah,
but
it's perfectly serviceable.
They can whoop all those teams. Those defenses are terrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. And their offenses cannot handle the best defense in the league. So who's really going to come out of the NFC other than Seattle? The Cardinals are really the best looking team, right?
Well, the Cards defense, say what you will, I don't know if they have as good a secondary as Seattle, but would people not agree that the front seven's better?
They got a pretty good secondary, man.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They got a good secondary.
I'll be honest, I've been dying to watch them all fucking year. I think I saw, were they like the first Monday night, or were they one of the teams in that doubleheader? Like, you know how the first Monday night game, you get like a late, usually it's like, you're always watching the fucking Chargers against the Raiders. 9 times out of 10, start of the season, that second Monday night game is fucking Chargers and Raiders, maybe Chargers and Chiefs. But usually they like to shit on you with that one.
If you can get this game, the Cardinals are playing the Broncos in Denver this week. That's going to be a worthwhile game.
I hope.
That better be good. Just even the Broncos have not played up to par with last season. They're getting used to
the mark they set last season was pretty goddamn high.
But it looks like preseason to me, the way that Peyton is trying to figure out who his new receiving core is. Like, Wes Welker was suspended for a couple games, Eric Decker's gone, so it's been kind of a reboot for that offense. It's not been pretty. September was not a great month for the Broncos offense.
No, not their offense, but the defense looked much better than last year's, or at least somewhat better. And I mean, that's what they really needed. If we're making the argument that you need to be a complete squad to get deep into the postseason, then I would say this year's batch looks better than last year's for the Broncos.
Even in the AFC picture, man, I look at the Broncos as being a beatable team. They're a good team. But when I look at the AFC playoff picture, I really think it comes down to six teams right now. I don't see a lot of possibilities for dark horses outside of these six teams making the playoffs.
All right, let's hear them.
Let's hear them. I'd be shocked if
do I care?
The Patriots did not win the AFC East. Most people would. I'm rooting for the Jets. You know me, I have a man crush on Geno Smith, and yet he's not playing.
Was it last Monday they finally had a national game?
Yeah.
I liked him. I'll be honest. A lot of people walked out of that saying he sucked. Compared to last year, he's way better.
He's improved. Yeah. Yeah, no, he's not getting it in the end zone. So I really hope they give him a chance to turn it around. Otherwise, like, I guess they can bring in Vic and then have the disappointment in the playoffs once again. But I really think Geno's the guy that would take him further in the playoffs, is my view. So they should just stick with him. Anyway. Patriots look like the favorite in there.
Who's making the argument that they aren't. I mean, maybe week one.
I've been fighting for the Jets taking that division, but
It ain't happening. They're 1-3. Fucking Miami had to play the Raiders for Tannehill to look good. And what happened? The Bills win or lose yesterday?
They lost.
Okay.
They're back to being the Bills.
Yeah, EJ Manuel looks like shit.
He's looking a little better than last year too. But you go to the AFC North. You got two really good teams in that division. I think the Ravens and the Bengals are looking primed to really compete with the Broncos right now. I can't put New England in that category right now. They haven't really looked good yet. So September was not a good month for New England either.
Fuck, I know the Bengals are like sitting unbeaten and the defense is good, but goddamn, I just, Marvin Lewis loves to lose. And Andy Dalton is a fucking carrot-headed idiot. He loves to lose as well. So never count them two in.
No, I'm not going to say that they're going to make the Super Bowl, but they'd be my favorite right now. I'd just go out there and say, why not?
They could 0-6 Chargers this thing. They could march in 14-2 and just drop their first game in the postseason.
You know who I really want to see in the AFC Championship game, who seems poised to make it to the playoffs at least as a wild card? The Chargers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Asia Carrera and her son. I miss her. She's now a big fat alcoholic. It's very sad.
So, yeah, I think they're the second wild card, the other going to the AFC North, probably Baltimore if they're unable to catch up with Cincinnati. But the sixth team out of the AFC is going to be Indianapolis. Houston's got a one-game lead at the moment at the end of September, but that's not a good team in Texas. So,
if you want to know how retarded I am, I was like, why is he picking six? That's rather arbitrary, but it's coincidentally the number of teams that enter the postseason.
Yeah, no, I'm really down on this this season. Not just for the off the field stuff, but looking at the on field action. There's not a lot of reasons to be excited if you're outside those six teams.
Even
in the
hot teams have taken a beating already.
Yeah, and I have a hard time looking outside the NFC West for a team that could beat Seattle. That's what's I hate it, man. Because like at this stage, I think the Detroit Lions of all teams have shown the ability to play on defense with the ability to move the ball on offense to, like, hang in a game in the playoffs with Seattle. Nobody else has both sides of the ball. It's sad, man. It's sad.
I wish I could mount an argument against that, but I can't.
I'm so tired of, like, the poor quality of play at this point. I'm cutting out Thursday night games because they're garbage right now. You know, it's just not worth watching, so the NFL is at an all-time low.
They need to do a better job scheduling. They need to figure out a way to try to get the majority of these coming off a bye. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, it's idiotic because that's how college works. College Thursday night existed long before the NFL tried to jump into that market. And every team that plays in college on a Thursday night has the weekend off beforehand. And that is why you get these great primetime Thursday night games in college. We had another great one. It was Oklahoma State, Texas Tech this week. Way better to watch than the garbage you had on your TV. I'll tell you that.
I'm not going to mount an argument against that. I don't do a ton of college watching, but a lot of the Thursday night product, I know there was a thread on Reddit saying that over four games, I want to say the total score differential was something off the top of my head is like maybe 157-60 or something like that. There's been one non-blowout. What was the one Thursday night game?
It was still a beating, because the Steelers scored 6 points. It was a 20-point loss.
Okay, yeah. That one was semi-watchable.
The reason they scored 6 points
Ravens
was not
Steelers,
simply the quality of the Ravens' defense. You know, it's really hard to watch when the Steelers just blow. And that's what they did that night.
All right, well, later we're going to edit in at this point our interview with the Fan in Focus this week, our buddy Original Nixter, a Giants fan.
You really gotta work on that that transition.
No, I like keeping it real. We don't need to make it seamless.
All right.
Yeah, people. Guess what, people? Sometimes we insert stuff after the fact.
But I love Studio Magic, man.
You know what? Use the Studio Magic and chop that shit out too. Really difficult. See.
All right.
We are joined right now by Nixter, a longtime show friend. I met her in the infancy of my Twitter use, and we've talked really ever since. Are you there, Miss Nixter, a.k.a. Nicole Maria?
I am, sir. I am.
All right. Good hearing from you. We had you on this week because we do the Fan in Focus segment. We want to find someone in our group of friends who supports a team in particular. And Howard had the brilliant thought of getting you this week because the Skins played the Giants. And
pounded the fuck out of them. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It ended for the Redskins about as well as it ended for the real Redmen.
Yeah, I worried about you the entire time. I didn't know if you felt like Jodie Foster in The Accused or like how your level of emotionality was.
I'll be honest, as a Redskins fan, especially the past 10 or so years, the Coughlin years with the Giants, but even before that, I guess, you know, you had Big Tuna, who wasn't exactly an easy win for Gibbs, even when he did get him. But the Coughlin years, when you see the Skins on the schedule, even if your team is, I don't know, like 0-42, like, do you look at that and you're like, That's the fat chick that I can call when I'm drunk at 3 a.m. on a Saturday, and she's just going to give me that fat pussy. And I can come inside it without a condom because she's fat and she takes it.
And exactly. No, you know what's so funny is that usually you're right. Like, the skins are like that game where I'm like, oh, we don't have to worry about it. Like, yeah, we got the skins. And then it was like, oh, God, it had to be, I think it was the year, after the Giants beat the Patriots, I think. It was the season after where, like, the skins were, like, more god-awful than normal. And, like, the Giants were playing them at home and ended up losing to them, like, 48-0 or some obnoxious thing. It was,
that
like,
happened? That happened? That sounds like I would have been so happy. Why do I not remember that?
No, I don't think it was 48-0, but it felt like that because it was like we had no business losing to the Redskins, like, whatsoever, and we lost to them twice in one season. And it was just like, what in the world? This is the Redskins.
Yeah, you guys missed the playoffs by a game that year, I think, right?
And it was like because we didn't beat the Redskins. And I just remember like sitting there shell shocked, like, oh no, it was very confusing and very awkward. It was like the first time I did anal. It was just out of the blue.
Feces everywhere, curtain, ceiling.
I gotta ask you the flip question though. When you beat the Redskins, so now you've had kind of a schizophrenic season, you're 2-2. I mean, does that really give you hope for the rest of the season, or do you just assume, well, it's the Skins, it doesn't really count. Well, we gotta play Atlanta.
Yeah, oh God. No, the Giants have just been one big schizophrenic, you know, club this season, and a lot of it came down to the fact that we finally got rid of Kevin Gilbride. Like, I, like a Twitter campaign out of the ass for, like, the last 2 years. I was just like, I'm never watching another game until they fired Gilbride. And every Sunday, you know, just, like, clockwork and whatever I would watch anyway. But I think the offensive cohesion may be taking form. But then again, after watching the display that I did Thursday night, I also firmly believe that Peyton Manning was really pissed off that he had a bye week, so he played the part of Eli, and Eli vastly played the part of Kirk Cousins. That's the only way to explain 3 interceptions in one quarter and 4 altogether in the second half of the game. So.
And a lost fumble.
Yeah, don't forget that.
Don't forget that. Yeah, I mean,
I think Peyton was just pissed. He had a bench. He was like, yo, bro, I got this.
If I'm a Giants fan, I can look at this one of two ways. One is they're a shit team, and now I'm not saying this because I have any real malice toward the Giants, even if they're an NFC East rival, but they're thinner on talent than they've been in a while.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting much this season because again, like for the last several years, it's always, you know, which Eli is going to show up. Like, Down syndrome, gosh darn it, how did that play not work out, even though I threw it right to the other guy in the wrong jersey? Or like, oh, look at me, I could be my brother if I wasn't an idiot. Like, now, Eli, you know?
I'll say, as Downsy as he looks in the face compared to Peyton, Peyton always has that big red forehead welt.
He really
has a brain disease. Like, his skull is really malformed. I'll never
like
get over
Cro-Magnon, that. Yeah, it's like Cro-Magnon syndrome. Like, all of a sudden his forehead's like, no, you cannot restrain me in this helmet.
It reminds me, if you ever watched The Simpsons, back in the day, that episode where they assemble the all-star baseball team, and Ken Griffey Jr. drinks the nerve tonic, and his head gets shaped like a lima bean. That's exactly what Peyton Manning's forehead is like, and then they try to cram it in a helmet, and it just doesn't take.
That is a reach into the archives reference, but it is a beautiful one.
Thank you. But
that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think you can go one of two ways after that win. You can say, we beat a shit team, and we're still thin, and nothing's going to come of it. Or Howard made the point earlier in the show that the NFC is just thin, period. Do you think to yourself, you know what, when it comes to pocket quarterbacks, we're still not bad at disrupting them. Secondary's okay. We can kind of blitz, whatever the fuck. We've always had the number of the white guy that sits back for a while. And, you know, fucking Eli figured out he can throw to the tight end again.
Yeah.
So
maybe
something's happening.
Now, man. Oh, my God. Watching the, like, I'm like literally watching this game. I'm in Vegas. I had just gotten to Vegas 2 hours ahead of time. And so I'm watching the game in Vegas, and I'm just like, when did we get a tight end? Like, I had no idea we had one anymore. Like, cause it just hasn't been a position, like, since Kevin Boss, really, and Jeremy Shockey, like, it hasn't been a position that we've, you know, had quad strengthen, and then we have Benefrova, and then, you know, it's just, it was nice to see a speed out there. But I don't know that it's a promising ass whooping, again, because it is the Redskins. And then watching the Dallas game last night when they, you know, play the Saints, and I'm like, who the hell is this team? Like, you know, they look like the Giants, and the Giants now look like, you know, the Cowboys with the no identity. And then, of course, everybody in the NFC East that's not an Eagles fan cheers when they lose. That's the thing. Like, Skins fans, Giants fans, and Cowboys fans, we all hate each other, but the one common thread we all share is that we hate the Eagles more.
Oh, I would say we all hate Dallas the most. That's my vote, but maybe I'm an innocent baby like that.
You know what? Because Philly fans are even, well, like, Dallas fans don't really know football. They just know, like, oh, I'm a Dallas fan. Like,
yeah, you do have to deal with the savage, beast-like, feral nature of the Philly folks only being 2 hours away from you. I have, like, a maybe more of a three-hour moat, so I'm safe from their hurled batteries at my proverbial Santa Claus.
I hear Troy Aikman having to call Philly games, and I feel like even he just, when he has to go to Philadelphia to cover a game there, it just takes him back to the day that Michael Irvin had his career ended at Veterans Stadium, and all the Philly fans cheered when he couldn't get up because he was temporarily paralyzed.
Yep.
I mean, I think everybody has a story about Philly where it's like, you're such horrible scum. Like, what is wrong with you people?
So bad.
It's two different hates. It's like, for Dallas, you hate them because they have the five rings. And for Philly, you're just like, I love the fact you have zero. Never change.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Well, now the best part, too, is like, if you're counting overall championships, like pre-merging of the AFL, NFL, et cetera, to become what is now the, you know, the NFL, the Giants technically have, you know, five or six rings as well. So it's, yeah.
Oh, the Skins got a couple, right? Didn't we get them, like,
well,
right before
the six. Steelers have six in the modern era. Yeah, they've got the sum. They've got the five in the sum.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, shit. You go back that far, the Browns actually won a championship. So.
Oh, exactly.
And the Browns don't look horrible this year either. But no, the NFC East this year, and even last year a bit, remind me a lot of the NFC West in the early 2000s. Like, when Arizona, like, limped in to the playoffs that year with Kurt Warner. Like, it was a division where it was like you won six games and you were in the playoffs, and that made no sense. Like, that's not how the NFL is supposed to work. But, like, unfortunately, the NFC East, for whatever reason, which has been a very dominant division, or at least had a very dominant team, has kind of gone schizophrenic as well. So I don't know that I'm nervous this early in the season, especially after watching Chip Kelly blow it play call yesterday, like, you know, on the 1 yard line with a 3 and goal and a 4 and goal and not being able to get into the end zone.
Let me ask you this. So if the Giants do not make the playoffs this season, is Eli Dunn as the quarterback for the Giants? Because that's one thing I've been wondering with him making as much money as he does this year and expecting a whole heck of a lot of money next year too. And that's the real question. Like, can you keep paying him this much not to make the playoffs?
You know, and that's obviously going to be the conversation that comes up the more. I mean, thankfully in New York, we have the Jets, so it, like, covers, you know, the whole Eli conversation a lot. I mean, yesterday the Jets fans are chanting for a dog killer over Geno Smith. Like, that's how bad their team is. But I don't, I mean, they're chanting, we want Vic. It's like, oh, okay, you want the guy that's going to feed, like, Fluffy to your pit bull. Okay, great. But I don't know that Eli goes only because of even the way Coughlin stayed the last few seasons. The Giants organization, the Mara family, et cetera, they are very much about family. And if they believe a member of the family is worthwhile to them, or the relationship is still valuable, or there's something to still be gained from it, whether it's even keeping Eli getting a younger quarterback, and, you know, flipping the role eventually, which inevitably has to be done with everybody.
So he can be Dennis Quaid in Any Given Sunday, and that is a reference.
Yeah, he could be Dennis Quaid in Any Given Sunday. He could be Kurt Warner to Eli, as it was when...
Both of you who saw that movie are cheering right now.
Yes. Any Given Sunday was a great movie. But I don't know that they get rid of him. A trade would be possible. It does free up a lot of cap room for them. But again, what are we going to free up the cap room for?
Okay, so your preference, though, is that they keep him, and then they sign Geno Smith when he gets cut by the Jets,
God,
right?
No, God.
See, I want them to take RG3 and give us all the picks. God. And then RG3 pull the Michael Irvin the first week back.
Oh, my God. Oh, no, and here's the thing, too. Like, I had my quarterback. He's brought us two rings, one against, and he didn't necessarily bring them to us. Our defense did, against the Patriots.
He didn't screw it up, though. You could have had Rex Grossman.
No. Here's the funny part about that whole draft class. It was Rivers, it was Manning, and it was Roethlisberger,
yeah.
And the way it was supposed to work out that day and the way I wanted it to work out so badly was if San Diego wasn't going to do this whole let's give you Eli, you give us Rivers and everything else that we want and then some, the Giants were going to take Roethlisberger. I'm still bitter to this day that they never did, only because I think Ben Roethlisberger is a phenomenal quarterback. I mean, for a guy that tall and obnoxious and whatnot, I mean, he's very agile in the pocket.
I've never been able to respect Eli as a man from Jump Street because of that, where it's pretty much just like, sorry, guys, my dad says I can't play for you.
Yeah.
That was it.
And that's the thing too. Like, I mean, a lot of people blame Eli and a lot of people, whatever. And I mean, Archie was a huge chunk to blame, but I mean, Archie Manning is Archie Manning and he's got pull in the NFL. And unfortunately his son went to Indianapolis and he wasn't very happy.
Archie needs to set up a website where he just mails women a mayonnaise jar full of his cum. Like, that's what Archie Manning needs to do, especially inner-city broads. Because can you imagine a mobile Peyton? Fuck, man.
No, I can't
Jaquan Manning? God damn.
That's phenomenal.
Manning with a first name with three apostrophes in it? Fuck,
yeah,
man.
Like, you're not getting an EBT card this year. Nope, you're not getting any food stamps. You're getting this jar, and you're inseminating yourself every day until you're pregnant. You are taken care of better than the government ever could.
Be like, sorry, I ain't got room for my 11th ring, man. Just hang it around my neck.
A mobile Manning. Oh, my God.
Oh, so thy will be done.
That guy is so in sync as Steve's with his sons. I mean, he even shows up in their damn DirecTV rap videos. I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's
very close. It's very oddly close. It's like Jessica Simpson's dad, but without the closeted homosexuality.
Yes. Joe Simpson and Archie Manning should form, and like Beyonce's dad should form like Stage Dads Incorporated or something.
Oh, yeah. And then they could all circle jerk onto Kim K's mom.
Oh, man.
Get together with Kris Jenner and form like the most obnoxious thing ever.
As long as it was aired, she'd be down for it. That's the truth. Well,
as long as it's on the age.
Nix, thank you so much for joining the show.
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen.
If you want to get hold of this lovely lady, it's at OriginalNixter on Twitter. She doesn't have much else to promote. She's just still doing the Twitter thing. She used to do a bunch of other shit, but she's tweeting.
Yeah.
Come back to us. Come back.
I try to live tweet Sunday games. I like try to find a red zone channel somewhere and like live tweet all the games, which apparently people enjoy, except people on my feed that don't like the NFL, which I tell them to suck a Manning.
Yeah, the Pinkos.
Find something else to do on Sunday. That's what I say.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thanks again, Nixie.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day.
You too.
Bye.
I like how we said that in unison.
Yeah.
You too. We sounded like two rapscallion brothers up to no good. You too, Mr. Wilson. At Original Nixter, O-R-I-G-I-N-A-L. That's not the hard part to spell. Why did I start with that? It's not a fucking spelling bee. N-I-X-S-T-E-R. That's how you get your Nixter. All right. Let's get then to the upcoming slate of games. Week 5. I mean, if you're not pumped for the Thursday night stuff, I don't know. Even if you were on board, Vikings at Packers,
I have a working hypothesis.
First year
coaches.
All right, Mr. Scientific Method.
First year coaches, like I said earlier in the
show. Sir Francis Bacon in the studio. Get on with it.
But if you're a first year coach, you're going to have a tougher time getting your team ready on a short week than a veteran coach.
So Mike McCarthy's a slam dunk here then.
I think it's going to be another blowout. And that's my, we'll see if that's disproven this week, but I really look at this week and next week. I know Houston is playing. I don't know who they're playing, but Houston is playing the following week. And you have Bill O'Brien coming in with a new system to Houston. I don't think he's going to do very well in the short week either. So I don't watch the next two Thursday night games. Let the NFL prove to you that it deserves our attention on Thursday nights. Because right now, we're all just fed up with it, I feel.
The problem is there's nothing against it, dude. This is not 1992. I can't flip to Seinfeld or In Living Color.
No, just watch college football, man. This is what I'm saying. Like, I keep trying to get you to watch college games. Like, I'm telling you, this is like the one night of the week where the college game will look better than the pros. Because the pro, there's nothing about playing on a Thursday that's anything like postseason football. I have no idea why they have these exhibitions on Thursday nights. Because it's nothing like the teams that you would ever see if they played on a normal Sunday. You just don't get those two teams.
I mean, look, I was on board with your argument for a long time. Actually, just out of sheer laziness, because I didn't want to pay for the NFL Network to get the Thursday night games. And yeah, I never really thought they were a good contest to begin with. They weren't for a long time. Like, they would start to put some divisional shit in it, but that was about it. It was usually divisions I didn't care about. You know, I can't have a dog in all eight. You know what I mean? So a lot of times, especially like 2012, I remember one time I watched like Rams at Cardinals, and I think it was like right before the wheels came off. You remember the Cards that year? They were like 4-0, and everyone was like, holy shit! And then they went fucking 1-11 for their final 12. Goddamn insane. I think I remember watching that, and I was like, wow, this is the quality of game I'm going to get. Fuck this. And I tapped out. But now that it's on CBS, and they do such a good job with the production, I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt, but I can't argue much, especially given what I've seen so far.
I don't know. I say, like, skip the sports bar, find a place where women hang out. That's what I would say. Like, it's just not worth your time on a Thursday night, man.
Well, I'm now able to watch it at home, but even then, I have not seen many good games. I really can't disagree with what you said. And if the reason is that it's Thursday night and it's not just a spate of bad luck, then that sucks. I want to like it because with Thursday night, you've got two nights max without football. You got, what, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Friday, Saturday. That's it.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule right now for the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. And really, to me, the only game that's worth watching, I'm just so down on the NFL right now. I want to see the Ravens play the Colts. Like, those are two playoff-worthy teams.
Oh, see, I've got a couple others at one that I think are interesting. Texas at Dallas. Just because I want to see Dallas lose, I'm praying.
It will help us to understand how good the Texans are and how bad the NFC East is. I mean, that's really...
That's kind of how I'm looking at it. Also, J.J. Watt playing his fucking steroid man tits off. He is insane right now.
Do you really? Like, what else at one do you really want to watch?
Atlanta at Giants.
Oh, no, man. I mean...
I'll watch a battle of the shit.
It'll be high octane. There should be a lot of scoring.
Yeah, I'll watch that, man.
Yeah, I mean,
4 p.m. There's a really good one at 4. I'll let you.
We talked about that one already, man. I mean, let's see what the Cardinals and Broncos can do. Let's see if they can make us excited to watch football again, man.
They've got me. Until they lose me in that game, they've got me. 8 p.m., you've got Bengals at Patriots.
Hey, man.
What?
Gino and the Jets are going to play the Chargers, man. Gino's a wild card. It's actually fun to watch him play right now.
That's something I would have lumped in, and I was afraid you would just shit all over it. So I shut my app out of fear.
Nah, man. I mean, it's just...
Like a wife who's sick of getting slapped.
He adds a wild card to the game right now. It's fun. It's really fun. So I know he's not enjoying it as he swears at fans walking
off the
field.
That's like a Rex Grossman thing. Like, when is he going to throw his two picks? Will it be at the beginning, and then they'll be able to play out the rest of the game, or will it be at the end?
See, and he'll it's crush different, because I never looked at Rex Grossman as a guy who, like, hung in tough and, like, just played gritty. I never used the word gritty to describe Rex Grossman's play.
No. Chubby. Not gritty.
But nah, like, Gino's he's got a lot of grit. I just really want to see him succeed, man. I don't know.
I'm not against him. Again, what I saw from one Monday night game, for whatever reason, I cannot hate the Jets. Maybe because they exist against the ultimate evils in that division. But I am rooting for him and his foot-sucking boss.
It's gotten boring enough, like, with some of the NFL stuff at the moment that I've taken up to playing on DraftKings to stay somewhat interested in all the games.
Is that the one that I hear the ads for and the guy from Detroit won, like, 600,000 playing it or some shit?
It's one of the two. There's them and FanDuel are the two big ones.
I think it's FanDuel.
I messed with it this weekend, and it helped, because otherwise I was pretty uninterested in a lot of the stuff that was
I punched out. I watched Edge of Tomorrow. Treat yourself to that one.
Yeah.
I wish I could say they were a sponsor. And I had a DVD copy to give away. Nah, it's just watchable. You don't see Emily Blunt's tits, but she looks nice nonetheless.
Well, anyway, with my DraftKings lineup for this upcoming week, I'm just going to go heavy with the Seattle defense, Russell Wilson, and yeah, I'm just expecting a complete blowout of the Redskins on Monday night. So
I'm ready. I will not be drinking early so that by the end of the first quarter, I will still have the energy to get my fat ass to the gym and actually exercise that night. I am not counting on much out of that Monday night game. If the Redskins win, I will be marching around fully turgid for the rest of the week. It'll just be me in a jersey and no pants.
The line right
just
now
just wearing
is
a bath towel. I don't want to get arrested.
Okay, so this is in Washington. The line is Seattle by 7.5. Team traveling from the West Coast.
Yeah. I don't know the last time I saw a line like that at home, period, much less someone coming from the
That's
West
brutal.
To go east.
That's just brutal.
That is fucking bad. That is bad.
My only question is, will the Seattle defense score multiple touchdowns?
probably yes. Probably yes.
They'll at least put Russell Wilson in the offense, you know, in a couple nice goal line situations.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Even it could be the fucking Cowboys. And I would be rooting against Seattle at this point. But the Redskins, yeah, I want nothing more than to see them triumph. But I don't know how. Yeah, you don't watch The Simpsons, do you?
No.
All right, there's an episode where Homer's a boxer. Because why not? Because why the fuck not? He's been an astronaut. He's been a boxer. He can do everything. He ran the nuclear. Whatever. I know how to say it. He ran the power plant for a time. And they do an exercise where he's going up against heavyweight Dredrick Tatum, if I recall the name correctly. And they're like, you need to visualize how you're going to win. And you see him then in the ring with his fist up, and the announcer's going, moments before the match was supposed to start, a congenital heart defect has failed Dredrick Tatum. That's about how the Skins can win. If you're familiar with the movie We Are Marshall,
yes,
that will have to happen.
Jeez.
That,
you're a terrible person.
Yeah, that's about it.
And your team is terrible, and they deserve to
lose.
They
are.
They deserve to lose before, but even more now.
But, like, maybe if ISIS says, like, America, we will strike at you using America's team. Because they don't really understand football, so they just took the last Super Bowl winner instead of the Cowboys or the Pats, and then they just, like, fly it into something. Skins would win that.
You're so desperate right now.
Dude, you got to visualize.
Hey, let's go back to Cousins because everybody keeps pimping him out. Like, oh, well, one week we're going to say he's going to replace RG3. The next week he's barely even worthy of being a backup.
That's what it is to be into the NFL.
Let's just go back to the bottom line of what he's got to do to keep the job. Right now, on his clock, they're 1-2. If RG3's out 8 weeks, he has to have a winning record. And it looks like they're about to lose to Seattle. So if he's 1-3 after the Seattle game, he's really got to string together 4 wins in a row, I think. And I don't know who the upcoming opponents are for the Redskins, but it's looking pretty tough for Kirk Cousins to win that job.
Who are they playing? I take it they're doing the AFC South this year? I mean, there isn't a shittier division, but they already lost one of the games.
Yeah, so I don't know when they're going to play Indianapolis, but
it's probably a loss.
I don't know, man. I'm not big on Indianapolis at this point. I think they're a very beatable team.
Who's left? They already did the Jags.
Well, like, between now and the bye week, so let's say RG3 is ready after the bye in week 10. You've got, after Seattle, you're going to play Arizona.
Yay!
Tennessee.
So that means they have the NFC West and the AFC South this year.
Yeah. Dallas and Minnesota.
Well, I think Minnesota's shit.
We'll see, man. We'll see.
I hope.
The same can be said of your current starting quarterback.
Don't give me, yeah. Look, it's not good. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's just bad.
I want you to say that you're going to talk about other things besides the fucking Redskins on this show. How about that? Can we talk about other teams?
What the fuck? You did like 20% Redskins or something. What do you want, man?
20% too many, in my opinion.
They've been a story for all the wrong reasons. It's not like I'm going hardcore Raiders talk right now.
Yeah, you can give RG3 that much credit. At least he made you guys a relevant national story. Because before that, I was so tired of just hearing people trying to make the Redskins relevant. So.
I mean, they kind of were, but for completely off-the-field shit, like Haynes were.
No, they were just irrelevant, man. Period. Yeah. They were just irrelevant.
On the field,
period.
Yes. On the field, yes. I think Dan Snyder is a perpetual horse's ass. It's like saying the Raiders are completely irrelevant while Skeletor owned them. I mean, it was always funny seeing what the fuck that guy came up with.
We still need to watch that South Park episode. Have you seen it yet?
Nah, I've kind of tapped out on South Park.
Yeah, I mean, I want to check that one.
The Redskins episode.
Yeah, people got up like they. We didn't talk about last week when the South Park commercial was aired.
During the Eagles game.
I just think that's funny because I'm like, who at home? Basically, either you're in a bar and you just are forced to watch commercials, or B, you're like me and you sit at home and you do things before the game starts. You basically put on a record and then let it play out a bit before you start watching, so you can skip halftime and commercials. I don't watch commercials when I watch like NFL games.
God, you're like Rich. My buddy Rich that I watch games with, and he's like, let's just wait a bit. Fuck you, it's live. That's the magic. I want to see it.
Even when I watch live at home, because I do watch a lot at home live, but I'll just walk around, man. I got better shit to do than watch commercials.
I don't. I'll watch them. I'm going to hear my 100th airing of Peyton singing shit to the Nationwide theme.
Oh, that commercial kills me.
Nothing's like the new car smell. You know, the worst thing, if you watch Monday night on, like, streaming it through an ESPN app, which I do, I watch it on my Xbox, they have, like, four commercials. It's the same commercial twice in one block a lot of times.
Brutal.
Oh, my God. I've heard that Peyton one a trillion times, man, conservatively speaking. That is a very, very low estimate. Are we good? Howard, we covered everything?
I think so, man. Yeah, we'll be back next week then, and we'll talk more about hopefully better games than we saw in September.
Yeah, folks, this was Papa's Football Podcast, hosted at pfpod.com. I'm John Papa Giorgio. He is Howard Lucas Flood. You want to see me tweet during games? I tend to do that a lot, especially the Redskins games. It's at Papa's Basement. Also do the InPapa'sBasement.com show. If you do iTunes or Stitcher, look up both Papa's Basement and Papa's Football Podcast. You can subscribe to us, give us a nice rating, all that happy shit. And last but not least, I do the Spookies comic, hosted at, you guessed it, thespookiescomic.com. Yes, Howard?
We should let people know that our website exists. And, yeah,
I said pfpod.com.
Occasionally post playoff power rankings for the folks to actually consider who really matters in the NFL.
PFpod.com, PFpod.com.